Maybe next to the football wasn't a great idea.
Nah, well.
I can see we're going to start this off like every other show that we've done.
Probably. Welcome to Endangerously Sports. That's the crowd cheering in the background.
They're a distant crowd, but they're cheering.
That's right.
They're cheering nonetheless.
Yep. So, Troy and I are going to start. We're going to go through the NFL season at least, and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
And segue. So, 2016 NFL season, I have to say, I am a little excited in the pants that this is getting ready to finally start.
I know. It's been so long.
It feels like, I don't know, I mean, maybe it's because the Olympics are happening and...
Maybe.
It's like this pseudo-excitement for sports.
Right.
It's like, oh, awesome, sports are on, I want to get excited. And it's like, women's field hockey. And you're like, what? Well, I mean, we did start undefeated.
Yeah.
And then we got beat pretty bad by Germany, but...
Germans.
Yeah. You know what's really funny is watching the Olympics is like, there's this little part of me that wants to like root on Germany for like heritage reasons.
Gotcha.
But then most of me just wants them to lose everything because of Hitler.
Right. Oh, Hitler.
Way to ruin German sports forever.
Pesky Hitler.
Somewhere there's five Germans listening to this going, it's a point.
Yeah, okay.
It's a point. It's not a good point, but it's a point.
Yep. So, MVP prediction, Johnny Manziel, right?
It's like you're inside my head, and you're running around away from a defense in the wrong direction and throwing off your back leg, and somehow still it's a touchdown.
That's right.
I don't know how that works. I'm going to go ahead and go with no.
No, okay.
But it's a soft no. Let's not rule anything out.
Do you have any hopes for guys like him? I feel like there's another guy who just keeps... getting himself in trouble, not playing. Do you even think he plays again? You think he's done?
I don't think he ever takes another snap in the NFL.
I don't think so either.
Let me phrase it the way, not in the regular season.
Right.
I could see somebody a couple years from now picking him up and he plays in the preseason, but then he never actually goes into a game. It's not like he's going to be on a roster and he's going to legitimately be like lighting a fire behind anybody ever again.
Yeah. I think...
I just don't see that happening.
I think this actually might be the year where no one even talks about him anymore. Like
that would be awesome.
This is like this might be the last conversation we actually have about him.
And it's terrible to say because like there's this little part of you that wanted to like him early on at A&M. Yeah. And I think it mainly was because it was A&M's big inaugural push into the SEC, and
yeah.
It's kind of cool to see somebody else kind of making waves in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
But God, second he got to his second season there as a starter, oh. So annoying.
Yep.
And then obviously everything from there, like
right.
Fill in the blank, it's bad.
Exactly.
But I don't think he does. Unfortunately, he doesn't have baseball to hold back on like Tim Tebow does. I'm sure you've heard that news, right?
Oh, Tim Tebow is going. I heard he's working on. Is he trying to get in the majors?
He is.
Is that really?
It's really a thing.
So did he play in college?
I don't know if he played in college or not.
I don't think he did.
You know, it feels like most of the time when we have one of these two-sport guys that's a big deal, you know about who drafted him.
Right.
Because, I mean, maybe he got drafted out of high school like
that's
most
possible.
Of these guys do. And we just,
yeah.
You know.
Like, didn't Russell Wilson got drafted out of high school?
Russell Wilson got drafted by the Yankees.
Yeah.
I think he might have actually gotten drafted.
The Yankees could use him right now.
As a junior, I think.
Did he really?
You know, coming out of...
When
he was in NC State before he went for his... You know, grad year.
I think you're right, actually. I think you're right. I think he was drafted out of there.
But I think he actually did go to, like, spring training or something.
I think he went to spring training this year. Didn't he do something this year?
I know he did go to one of the teams this year and, like, took BP or something like
that.
Oh,
okay, gotcha. Yeah, just...
It wasn't, like, a serious, I'm going to play baseball thing.
Right.
But it was like, oh, man, like, this dude could actually play baseball.
Yeah, yeah. And, hey, we'll get some media attention here with the 2 days we have Russell Wilson.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not?
I mean, might as
it
well,
doesn't hurt right? anybody.
It's not going to hurt anything.
Unless know? Literally he gets it like and by a pitch and hurt, then that's
true.
That would be bad. But I imagine
as long as Randy Johnson's not back there,
I imagine they're taking precautions to not do that.
Yeah, they got the oldest guy out there throwing the pitches.
Right,
it's like get him over the plate, old man. He's trash talking the whole time. Like, don't hit Russell Wilson. And he backs into his car in the parking lot. I wanted to hit him really bad.
Just really had to hit the guy.
That was He's the most random joke ever.
He's a 49ers fan. Oh, the poor Niners. We'll get to them next time. Yeah. Is there any general headline? Any general
Well, I think the biggest general headline, and it's going to segue us right into the first division discussion,
right,
is, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo.
So, as
we all know, Brady did just go ahead and decide he's going to stop the appeals process and take the 4-game suspension.
Yeah.
And, of course, that means he's going to come out with a fire that we've never seen before.
That
he will. I mean, take it for what it's worth. But, I mean, he's going to come out really angry, and he's going to play extremely well.
Right.
Not that he wouldn't anyways, but it's going to be a new level of focus.
Exactly.
Like, he's going to get 16-game stats in 12 games.
Probably. It'll be like the was it the 2011, the 18-1 season?
The record year with Moss.
I think it was in 2011. It was 2009, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was earlier than that.
Yeah. But anyway. Okay, so full disclosure, Patriots fan here.
And Bengals fan here. So you obviously know about the pride of championships on one side of the table and the anguish of defeat on the other.
And before all of you glom on onto the Patriots hate bandwagon, because everyone's on it.
Yes, we are.
Oh, give a quick backstory of how I became a Patriots fan living in Eminence, Kentucky.
I can give a similar story when you get done.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a University of Louisville wide receiver named Deion Branch who got drafted by said Patriots, went on to become quite a superstar right at the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty big deal, especially around here.
Until he got that really big deal in Seattle.
Yeah, that was that was the first example of realizing, oh, this system and probably Tom Brady make a lot of difference here.
Yep.
And I don't think there was anything like, I don't think Deion Branch was any less skilled when he went to Seattle or anything.
Right.
You know, it's just that there's probably so many talented players out there that they just need the right team, right system, or right quarterback to be able to actually shine.
And, you know, one of the things that I'll just throw out there that I always find as a funny comparison is that there are a lot of people that actually like to hate on Joe Montana because they say he was a system quarterback.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know, like, there really is sort of a
contingent. That has kind of died down since criticism has started to be thrown at Tom Brady, too.
Right, and that's funny because, obviously, he was a Bay Area fan, he was a Montana fan.
Right.
And, obviously, there is a great system there in place. But, if you need any point in case that it's not just the great system that makes a great quarterback, look at all the guys that have come into play in New England when Brady's been hurt or suspended.
Yeah.
And how well they've done and how they've gone on to big contracts and other places, and they've been awful.
Yeah.
So
absolutely,
you know, it still takes, there's a certain level of skill that has to be there. I mean, Tom Brady can still throw the needle into spots that no one should even attempt to throw the pass,
right,
whether you like it or not. And I you know, respect is where respect is due. So.
Yeah.
And name one dynamite receiver besides Deion Branch that he's had since he's been there.
Well, the couple years
other
of Randy,
than
Moss.
Randy Moss.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, that was the legitimate
he
aberration.
He was a big known commodity before. Like, he was almost, I don't even know if almost is the right word, he was really considered to be on the downswing of his career when he
yeah.
got there.
Yeah, actually,
you know
he totally
mean?
Was. Everyone was like, ah, Randy Moss is done.
He was,
and then,
he was considered a has-been when he got there.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. And then everyone.
Fair or not.
Then when he left New England, everyone thought, oh, he's not a has-been anymore. He's a, you know, a commodity to get. And then.
He's still in his prime.
Then a couple teams go, oh, not so maybe not.
Yeah. Yep.
But what's your Bengals story?
So it's actually funny because I think that we actually also share a bit of 49ers love. So favorite
yep.
player of all time, Jerry Rice, the GOAT.
Yes.
Steve Young is my quarterback because it's just, I'm after the Montana era. What can I say?
Yeah,
I
only
Steve
call
Young.
It the last year of the Montana era.
See, for me, Montana was a Kansas City Chiefs quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but like, just that's kind of when I came into football and love them to death up to the point that Jerry left. When
right.
they let Jerry go and he went to Oakland.
It was, yeah, from then on.
It just, well, they, here's the thing is like, if anybody has heard me talk before about sports, you know that I don't exactly have the most love for Terrell Owens. But they did
you
draft
and a lot of
him.
Other people.
Yeah, they did draft him and try to make him Jerry Rice's heir apparent.
Right.
Way before Rice was done and way before Terrell Owens was really a stud.
Yeah.
He was drop city early on in his career.
He really was. I mean, he never Well, I mean, what there was really never a time that he wasn't Drop City.
Right.
He just also caught enough big passes that you dealt with the drops.
Right. So when he went to Oakland, I was like, oh, I tried to hang on for a couple of years of the wonderful Canadian wonder that come in there, try to be the heir apparent to Steve Young. But Jeff Garcia was just not, you know, it's just to have Montana, to have that much greatness, and to go ahead and have yourself a ready guy in Steve Young.
Right.
They weren't prepared for life after Steve Young.
No.
And Steve Young is one of those guys that have to retire kind of early because of the concussions.
Right.
Which is... He's
one of the earliest ones that I can think of.
It was like he and, you know, Aikman didn't have him as bad as Young.
No.
But Aikman started having him bad around the same time, and then they both kind of ended a little early.
Right.
For their careers. But that's why, you know, you see all the news on stuff today about CTE and head injuries and stuff. And so, like, man, I'm really hoping that nothing bad ever happens to good old Steve, because
I know.
He had a lot of hits, man. And he took a lot of damage.
And I love seeing him on ESPN and everything, too. Yeah. Like, he's witty, he's funny, he's a genuinely good source of information insight.
But how does that get you to the Bengals? As the 49ers faded out, I really didn't follow a team for a couple of years.
Right.
And then the Oilers moved to Tennessee. So I really kind of got on that bandwagon, especially the year they ended up a yard short in the Super Bowl. I mean, that was painful.
Yes, that was painful. See, I was rooting for the Titans that year, too.
Yeah.
Because, at that time, there wasn't really a team. I think that was
there just wasn't anybody that I loved, because I was such a Niners fan. And it's funny, because I have this in several sports. Like, I tend to really follow players.
Right.
And I become big fans of players. And then when they leave a team, I suddenly realize, you know, I wasn't as much of a fan of that team as I was of that player.
Yeah.
But football is the one sport where I usually try to keep a team. So I floated around for a couple of years. And then the year after the Ravens won the Super Bowl, the Bengals hired Marvin Lewis, great defensive mind. They had the first pick in the draft, and they picked Carson Palmer. For some reason, I started following them that year. So I actually had 2 years of John Kitna as the starting quarterback, 8-8 back-to-back campaigns. And I was like, why am I following this
team? It's a rough team to pick. But
and then the third season, Carson Palmer takes over a starting job. He leads them straight to 11-5. He's looking like he's going to be the second coming of Peyton Manning, because he's doing all the audibles of the line and stuff. And like, so all of a sudden, like, this is my boy.
Yeah.
This is my boy. Like, this is my team now. And then, of course, Kemo Von off and laid into the back of his knee in the playoffs.
Ooh, yeah.
And the Steelers won the Super Bowl. So now, like, it's almost like this whole just rooting for the underdog.
Yeah, it's been ever since then, the Bengals have been, like, that team of just... They're kind of like the good Browns.
It's like the lovable losers.
Yeah.
Like, everybody loves to hate the Browns because they're just... They always have something annoying going on and they're... You know, bringing in like a questionable owner that looks like that's a Steelers fan, looks like he's just gonna raffle off the team, and he's been under investigation.
Yeah,
and then they bring in Johnny Manziel, and it's like, see, you're just setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
Oh, we brought on a coach this year, and brand new system, all these new players. He's got to learn this new thing, but we're gonna go ahead and fire him this year and get a new coach next year, anyways.
Why not?
You know, like, why? So, like the Bengals are like that ultimate underdog story that. I mean, they've been to the playoffs so many years in a row now.
Right.
And, I mean, they should have won this past year.
Yeah.
I mean, they won it. They locked it down, and then they gave it away.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah, because, the Steelers didn't win that game. The Bengals lost that game. That was one of those cases where... they get the pass, though, of they didn't have their quarterback.
Yeah, they do, but at the same time, there's so many things that went on bad in the game. I mean... Not to get into an absolute harp fest right now, but I make no bones about the fact that I pretty well blame the referees for that game.
Yeah.
The officiating was pretty bad. I mean, but it all comes down to the hit on Bernard. They were so concerned about making sure that it wasn't a defenseless receiver, as in he had made a football move, that they completely just blew past the fact that he hit him straight in the head with the crown of his helmet.
Right.
You know, and the league said afterwards that should have been a targeting penalty right there.
Yeah.
Instead of us having...
That was a rough game,
right, too,
because spacing on his name from Bengals defense.
Perfect.
Perfect, yeah. Perfect. He also was... perfect.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because they drafted him knowing that history. And, man, when he is on, he is very, very good.
He's one of the best players in the NFL.
He's arguably the best sideline-to-sideline linebacker now that, you know, Patrick Willis is retired and Demar Bowman's been a little slowed by that knee injury.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say if it weren't for his...
Luke Kuechly, yeah, he might be the best sideline linebacker in the NFL.
Yeah. I think that's pretty accurate.
But when he is not up here,
right,
it's not good at all.
Yeah, and the old noggin, he just makes the worst decisions.
And it's not just that he makes bad decisions, it's that he makes them at horrible times.
Right. Like at times to give away games.
But it's just it is what it is. But so how about the Patriots?
Right. So well, how about we start then? We'll go ahead and start with the old AFC East, give a rundown of what we expect to happen.
So I will go ahead and start the bidding at 12 wins for the Patriots. Running down the division, honestly, just looking at the changes that were made and in some cases not necessarily improved.
Right.
I don't see much change in this division. I still see the Patriots as the runaway favorite. I don't see anybody that's going to challenge them right now.
Yeah, the AFC East is the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills. The Bills have the talent, but I just don't see them having the discipline to put it all together.
Yeah,
I
agree.
They have offensively and defensively. They could, if, you know, and part of it is that their coach is Rex Ryan.
I hate to say it, but I mean, at the end of the day, the discipline of a team is a reflection of the discipline of the coach.
Right.
You know, and he's not, oh my God, I lost the name of the dude from the Lions 3 years ago.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now I'm spacing on his name too. Well, that's
I can see his face
how good of a career he's had since then. Yeah.
right.
But yeah, yeah.
But he's still Rex Ryan. So, and it's actually funny because looking at the division, just running through the schedule just quickly and trying to pick out what I think is going to happen, I see the Patriots at 12-4. I have the Bills at 8-8, the Jets at 7-9, and then Miami bringing up the rear 5-11.
I would be pretty close to that, actually. Now, I think the Patriots are going to hover more around 10 or 11 wins this year, just starting with the four games without Tom Brady. Now, Garoppolo looked pretty good in preseason, but it was preseason, so it's still tough. But they do have a bit of a, aside from the Cardinals in game one, they have a bit of a... It could either be a cupcake schedule or it could be kind of disastrous. Well, disastrous is strong.
Yeah,
it could
be a little bit of a strong word.
Yeah, but
they might be 2-2.
They have two divisional games in there.
Yeah.
And so that's the rub, is if they lose both divisional games, that puts them in a fairly big hole, but in the right division to be in that hole.
Right. Right.
Because they play the Dolphins and the Bills. The poor Jets. You know, they have been the rival for, you know, since Rex Ryan and the Jets were good. They've been that kind of the main divisional rival. And they just, ever since those 2 years, they've been a mess.
Yeah.
And this is the year where Tom Brady's going to be gone for four games and they get none of those games. They play the Patriots twice. I think it's in the last six games of the season. Right when they're either the Patriots are going to be pedaled to the metal because they're catching up on the being down for the first little bit, or they'll have already secured the division and won't care.
Yeah.
One of the two will probably have happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still predict the Patriots to take the division at either 10-6 or 11-5. The Bills, I'm with you. I think 8-8. I think they're... Their ceiling is 9 wins. Their floor is probably 6 wins.
Yeah.
The Dolphins, man.
The Dolphins are that team that just seemed like they were stockpiling talent, trying to do well, and then the floor just fell out last year.
Yeah.
And I don't see signs of that getting better this year.
I don't either.
I really don't. I feel like they're a worse team.
And the AFC East has maybe the toughest schedule in the NFL this year because they play the NFC North. I mean, the AFC North and the NFC West. So they're going to get, every team is going to play the Cardinals.
I mean, the Rams are no slouch.
Yeah,
the Rams are clearly the team that's at the bottom of that Western division in the NFC.
I don't know. I think the 49ers are.
Well, that's true. I don't know why I was smoking. But sorry about that, Chip. Tried to give you that was a brief foray into my background there. I just can't hang on to it. You guys are bad.
Yeah, there. But yeah, so they're all going to play the Seahawks, the Cardinals, the Steelers. The Bengals, they're going to play the Ravens. And the Browns, who
have a chance. I love to hate on them. I'll say this. It kills my soul that, I mean, we all knew Hugh Jackson was going to be head coach this year.
Right.
But I mean, in to division. Go to Cleveland?
Yeah.
Like, actually, I mean, I'm sure they offered him more than anybody else would, but still.
Probably, but, yeah, that is rough. It's in division, and it's against, like, the, you know, the seller of the division. Just the,
When it's that team that even though they're the seller of the division, like, you still just can't sleep on them. Because right. they do have some talent.
This year especially, I think this is the year that RG3 could have his early Carson Palmer renaissance.
Yeah.
Because I think like how you've seen Carson Palmer turn it around with the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Like he looks like what you would expect him to look like at this point. Like if he stayed an elite quarterback during that whole time when he was going through injuries and he never quite got right when he's with the Bengals. He never quite got back to Carson Palmer after the injury. And then when he went to Oakland, he still didn't look right. And that could be any number of reasons. The move, the new system, who knows
what. When you talk about, I mean, that team was...
is bad.
We'll be getting to them soon. That it seems like, I feel like they're really starting to build something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've been bad for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, just systematically. It's not one of those deals where they just don't have a talented roster. Because they've had some good players here and there.
Yeah.
But systematically, for some reason, it's just been a bad organization.
Right. Hugh Jackson knows. He was their coach for a little
right.
bit.
He was the one that made the big deal to bring Carson Palmer there.
He went to another. Yeah, you're right. And now he's at another place where he's bringing in a quarterback that he's hoping it won't turn out like the Raiders' Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
But then
he's going to have like one bad year of him, and then RG3 is going to go to like the Rams and just be like the greatest quarterback in the NFL.
Right, exactly.
They just go to the NFC West.
So, well, I'll just throw out, because we've basically moved on to the AFC North anyway. With the East, the Jets, I see them and the Bills could be interchangeable for records for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
They both look
they're
like they'll
be
around
right
8 and 8.
The same spot.
Yeah.
They're just going to be a couple games up on Miami.
This would be, of all the years, that if either of those two teams, though, if they happen to get a couple wins against these better teams, that like if they luck into a couple wins like against like the Seahawks or the Cardinals or you know like the Browns against the Bengals or the Steelers or something like that, they could wind up with a little closer to the Patriots this year. They could be more of an interesting race down to the wire.
Yeah, I would agree. I could see that happening.
But
I still feel like there's going to be that gap.
Yeah, I think there is too. I think it'll be about 10 games in, you'll start to see the separation.
And, you know, honestly, the thing that I think is going to make the biggest difference is that you always look at teams that are on top and the teams that are in that second and third spot trying to make a little bit of traction because of the place games.
Right.
But the reality of it is that New England, they're going to be without Garoppolo for an NFC game that could easily be a loss that doesn't matter as much as an AFC loss.
Yeah.
And then the first place teams that you're talking about, I mean, you're talking about a Houston team that, I mean, they're going to be probably around that same record. They're going to be, you're talking about when you get a first place game against a 500 team, that's that little benefit of a doubt that you get to keep yourself on top. Because, you know, usually when teams make little moves, it's because, you know, some of the other first place, you know, teams.
Yeah, someone has to lose those first place games.
Right. And so if someone loses those first place games and you win a couple of the second place games from those teams where the team that's top of that division is really good and everybody else is bad.
Right.
That's how you make up ground. But having only one really, oh, that's going to be a tough game in the first four without him.
Yeah. Because I believe they've got Cardinals, they've got the Dolphins, they've got the Bills, and is it the Browns for one of the four
Browns.
Games? I think so too.
I think so.
So that could very easily, even with Garoppolo, that could turn into 3-1, 2-2.
Yeah.
1-3 wouldn't even be a disaster.
Not in that division.
No.
No, it's just there's nobody there that just screams that they're going to try to take it. So,
which is the exact opposite of the AFC North.
Yeah.
Everyone is screaming that they want to take it over.
Right.
Maybe minus the Browns.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, they're going to be improved. Whether we like it or not, they're going to be improved.
Yeah.
But when your record is down to a certain point, like, you should be getting better.
Right. I think the Browns might eke out 5 or 6 wins this year.
I could see that. I think I have them at 5.
It really just depends on RG3.
It really does.
Because if RG3 is able to stay healthy, that's number one. I think he has the potential with the receivers they're going to have to actually be a pretty explosive offense.
There's going
to
be weapons there.
Because Josh Gordon's coming back after 4 games. There. I mean, he was, 2 years ago? He had the most receptions in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, he was a beast.
Yeah.
They could just lay off the weed.
Yep.
But anyways, I digress.
Here's the thing with the AFC North. I would believe you if you told me the Steelers, Bengals, or Ravens won the AFC North. Less on the Ravens.
Yeah.
But they always seem to, last year seemed like an aberration. Like, it was odd
was
how bad they were.
There was a lot of injuries. Yeah. You know? I mean, and here's the thing. It's funny because if you have ESPN Insider, which none of us are actually going to pay for, so ESPN, I don't know what you're thinking. But, they have some kind of article up right now about ranking the 32 backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
Gotcha.
And you know who just isn't prepared in that spot is the Ravens.
Who do they have? I honestly don't even remember. Just some.
It's
somebody.
Terrible to say because I feel like it could be a decent player. But they're one team with Joe Flacco. Even though I've always felt like Flacco is not super elite. There's something about him that just seems like he's right there on the fringe.
I don't even think he's on the fringe of elite. I feel like,
he's
he
on
has
the fringe
moments.
Of that second tier.
Yeah. Honestly. He has moments where he looks like maybe one day he could be first tier, but most of the time he looks like he's barely hanging on to that second tier.
Yeah. Without him and without running backs.
Yeah.
I mean, that was obviously the big story last year.
Right.
You're talking about him getting hurt and being out for a big chunk of the season. You're talking about getting their, up-and-coming running back go down.
Yep.
And they still haven't recovered from the whole Rice loss.
Neither is he.
Right. But they're a team that I think I'm going to kind of say very similar to what you said with Buffalo, I think. I feel like their ceiling right now, to me, it feels like it's about 9 wins.
Yeah.
And then the floor, it's 5 or 6. Because if they play like they did last year, because the thing is, I think that Flacco being hurt didn't help them any. But I feel like they're a team that is struggling to rebuild. They've been so good, especially on defense, for so long. And they haven't rebuilt quite as well as they thought they had. I guess if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Not while the other teams in that division. I mean, because Cincinnati lost a lot in the offseason this year, so I'm really looking at them to be down.
Yeah.
But Pittsburgh, I feel like they came on so strong at the end of the year.
Yeah. Right they looked now, like the best team in the league at the end of the year.
And that's actually where I set their record at the moment. Just looking at what they did the end of last year, if everybody is healthy.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to have Martavis Bryant.
Which does
that's
hurt.
That's going to hurt.
I mean, but barring other injuries, I don't think that knocks them down more than a game or so.
That's the thing about them is it's like, unless Roethlisberger gets hurt.
Right.
That's another guy that I feel like...
He does seem to get hurt a lot.
He gets hurt a lot. And he usually misses a couple of games.
Yeah.
You know? And so they tend to struggle through those games. But unless he were hurt for an extended period of time...
Yeah.
I can't name one guy on that roster that goes down that they can't, pick it up. Because the defense hasn't been the same for a little while now.
No, but I do think... I don't know. I think Antonio Brown, I think if he went down...
That's true.
I think if he went down, that'd
That's true.
We saw them get by just fine without Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, D'Angelo Williams played his mind out.
Yeah, and even when D'Angelo got hurt a couple of different times and they had to bring in subs,
as long as that line is blocking the way that it did. See, that was a line that really underachieved for a couple of seasons.
They did.
And then when the
Which Roethlisberger kept
Munchak,
getting hurt.
And they brought in Munchak to be the line coach.
Yeah.
He turned that group around.
He did, pretty quickly.
So they're going to run the ball great no matter who the back is.
I agree.
And so it's really just a matter of whether or not they have an explosive passing game.
Yep.
If Le'Veon Bell stays healthy and Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt, they could still run over most of the league. And they wouldn't have to ask.
How many games is Bell out? Because he's suspended 2. Is it 4 games?
It's either 2 or 4.
I
feel like it would be 4 because we're talking about multiple offenses.
Right. He will probably be out. But I think that might actually bode well for them because he doesn't have as long of the season to go through.
Yeah, it's less
They'll start
tear,
off with D'Angelo Williams, who will
be more
than serviceable.
Yeah.
He'll be a great running back.
He played so well last year. And I got nothing but respect for him. I really do.
In fantasy, I think he was in the top 5 or 6 in the league, and he only played, he only got more than 10 carries in something like 6 or 7 games.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
He was a beast.
It was unreal.
So I can agree with you on Braylon, primarily because of Bryant.
If they had Bryant, maybe they could be fine. Now, they'd still lose, like, I mean, Brown is a 150 catches a year guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable.
It's funny because it's one of those deals that when he first started taking off, like, three seasons ago, people were like, he's good, but is he that good? And now I think it's really hard to not make an argument that he's the best receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, I can't. I don't think you can really argue. You might say he's not the most talented. Like, maybe you could see, like, guys like OBJ or somebody like that who are just athletic freaks of nature.
Yeah.
But the whole package, I don't think there's anybody close.
No. Not right now. I mean, and you hate to say, well, especially with Megatron gone.
Yeah, but especially with Megatron gone.
Antonio Brown is clearly number one with kind of a gap to number two.
Yeah, it's a pretty...
And I love AJ Green, but... AJ Green.
He probably isn't. Between him and Julio Jones.
Top 10 easily. Might be top five, arguably. But you talk about the gap between him and Antonio Brown.
Yeah, it's large.
And how much of that is Roethlisberger versus Dalton? I don't know.
Right, that's true too.
You know, I would probably still does make questionable decisions sometimes.
Yeah, he does. I would probably put Julio Jones next.
Yeah, I can't discredit Julio. Julio's just had a couple bad injury seasons.
Yeah, because really, I mean, he was competing for the catches, being the king of catches last year, basically, with Antonio Brown. Like, now Brown just pulled away.
Right.
But he still had, I think, 130, 140 catches
yeah.
on a team where he's clearly the one they're going to throw the ball to.
Right.
Like,
there's not anything left there.
With Antonio Brown, like, it's a little different. Like, you know they're going to throw him the ball, but Martavis Bryant was so dangerous. And then they've got, you know, they have a legitimately good receiving core. In Atlanta, I mean, Roddy White had a couple games last year, but basically, you know, if Matt Ryan's dropping back to pass, they're looking at Julio Jones first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what's happening.
Clearing away, yeah.
And he's still,
that's what's up.
Still secured all those catches, so.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. But
here's my rundown of that division right now. So I have Pittsburgh at 13-3.
I can
just
see that.
The way they finished the season, you know, barring a crazy injury to one of the main players.
Helps they get the NFC East.
That's the other thing that really does help, is there's not one team in the NFC East that's going to beat them.
Yeah, you know, barring injuries and everything, which will throw... There will be an awesome team that will wind up finishing with a terrible record and vice versa.
Oh, yeah.
Because of injuries and surprise play.
Right.
I think they're the number one seed in the NFL, barring injuries.
That's what I have them at right now. I have them at 13-3 because I don't see anybody in the NFC East that's going to beat them. They also have the same benefit as your Patriots because
yep.
we're playing the East. So.
Yep.
I mean, those questionable games against Miami and the Jets and Buffalo, I mean, those three teams aren't beating Pittsburgh either.
Nope.
So, I mean, that alone right there is seven wins. And you're just talking now about what are we going to do against New England? What are we going to do against the two games of Cincinnati, two games of Baltimore? And then...
Basically, you've got a bunch of coin toss games that I think the coin favors them.
Exactly. And then the other thing that you just can't take out of the equation is the fact that they're a second-place team.
Yeah, that.
They're not having to play those other two division leaders. You know?
Right.
I mean, call it what it is, but, I mean, that's a slight edge.
Yeah.
That if you're in a really good division and two or three teams are going to make the playoffs, it
helps to have been second or third last year.
Yeah, other than having home field. If you're going to be one of those competitive divisions where you're probably going to be playing wild card weekend, you're almost as good to be one of the wild cards because you're already talking about familiarity with an opponent you're going to play.
Right.
And then it just sets you up to continue it up next year.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Barring winning the Super Bowl and losing half your roster to can't pay them.
Mm-hmm.
So after them, I do have Cincinnati. And, you know, the thing is, I keep looking at them. I want to say they've lost so much.
Yeah.
I don't want to really make them down because I don't want to, like, boost my own team up.
Right.
But I did finish with them at 11-5. Again, and it's because of the NFC East and the AFC.
I think that's about right. With both of them, those would probably be my records I would have for them, too. Yeah, 13-3, 11-5.
So then I went 6-10 for Baltimore and 5-11 for Cleveland.
Yep.
And it's funny because they clearly should be more based on the same arguments that I just made for two other teams.
Right.
But like I feel like Baltimore is going to struggle. And Cleveland's going to win a few, but...
I think Baltimore might... only because they have systematically had, they've had a good organization for a while.
They really Ozzie Newsome knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He
really does. So I think they could, especially when they do have, like you mentioned, they have the NFC and AFC East that they're going to be playing against. I think they'll probably get more wins than losses out of that, out of that stretch, at least.
It's hard to not think that, which immediately puts them in more of an eight win.
I see them more like 6 to 8 wins, probably, but, and I wouldn't be out of this world surprised if they were like, oh, they're really good this year. And we, you know, we just didn't quite see that coming just because of the, like
just
you said, the organization.
You know, you tend to look at last year and be like, oh, well, they can't be that bad, but.
But can they?
you still kind of run around that same number.
Yeah,
until
I'm not
they
sure.
Prove it to you.
The thing is I'm not sure what they have done that will make them that much better.
That's why I'm kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
Then the question is really like, man, are we really giving them too much crap for people being hurt?
That's it too. Yeah. So I still see them around 500, a little under. And the Browns, like you said, about 5 wins. If you're a Browns fan, listen, if they get 5 wins, if they get 6 or 7 wins, you should be ecstatic. But if they get 5 wins, you honestly should be really happy with the season. Yeah. Like, you come... just to see... If you get 5 wins, that will likely mean Griffin played decent and that they're taking to Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
That would be a quality scenario for you. But you... I imagine it's got to be tough, the thinking of next year. Every year, just like,
yeah.
Maybe next year.
And seeing the thing is, like, if they will give Hugh a chance, the sad thing is I know that Hugh has the offensive mindset to reboot RG3.
I think so,
and
too.
And to get them going. But are they going to give him time, and is he going to have enough talent everywhere else without people getting hurt?
Right.
Because, you know, it's really hard to look back at his time in Oakland and say, oh, he just wasn't good. Because the year after he left, they were better.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's his
players.
And
not because he left. Yeah, it was because they have created a much better team. Yeah.
We're talking about an organization that, again, we talk bad systematically.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the opposite of Baltimore.
Which is basically every team in the AFC South.
Yeah.
Is there a good team in that list?
You know what's really funny is that Houston's defense is stout.
Right.
With J.J. Watt, but he's coming off of back surgery. That's one of those things that's really hard to mess with on a guy. You know, it's like
I mean,
it's
he's
like big men in basketball with foot injuries. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
or knees, or one or the other. Like, they're going to be smashing into each other. And the back's going to be taking a lot of the hits.
Look at how he was in their playoff game.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they got throttled, but...
But he
wasn't the same. And like, having to come off all those plays, and you see him on the sideline grimacing, it's like, it's going to kill my soul a little bit to see if he doesn't come back to 100%.
Right.
Because he is such a fun player to watch.
He is. And when Clowney, like, because Clowney started to pick up a little bit of steam there towards the end of the year and started looking like what we thought he should look like.
Our expectations.
If you could have those two firing at the same time, they could be, they have the potential to be the best defense in the league.
They really do.
With a middling offense at best. Luckily, they have DeAndre Hopkins. That helps.
They got him.
But who's throwing to him?
Camp. And that's where it all falls apart is they did this whole quarterback by committee thing last year and somehow made the playoffs.
Yeah, it was... They couldn't have been luckier.
I can't hate them too much because that's the team that ended the Bengals' undefeated streak. The Bengals showed up completely uninspired. And it was 10-7 loss, I think.
It was really low scoring, really close.
I mean, Dalton couldn't hit the broadside off a barn. But more importantly, no one could catch anything.
Yeah.
I love Tyler Eifert, but he drops so many. Like, we're finally going to get it going. And Eifert drops it. You're like, dude.
Like, come on.
I mean, to lose, to be one of the last 3 undefeated teams.
Yeah.
And to lose at home 10-7 to a team that is bad. And, you know, I mean, the Houston took that game to heart, and they said, we need to win, and they did, and they used that to steamroll
absolutely
to the playoffs. You know, granted, you're talking about a bad team with a bad record getting to the playoffs, but, I mean, that's what they needed, and they used it, so I mean, more power to them. But.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hate them for the way that the rules are set up. I still say if the division winner is under 500, get a third wild card in the conference.
I have no problem with that.
I mean,
because that's the thing, is you look at the records of so many of these teams, and it's not a case of, oh, this division is so good, they're beating up on each other.
Right.
When that's the case, then we're usually talking about like three teams that are 10-6.
Exactly.
Something. Not three teams that are 7-9.
Yeah, because then they're beating up everybody else that they're playing, and then when they play each other, they're splitting the games.
Exactly.
Whereas in this, they're just also... They're
just bad.
You got the Texans, the Colts, the Titans, and the Jaguars. This might be my... I don't know if it would be a surprise pick or not. I think the Jaguars might win this division.
See, the funny thing is, I'm with you. Because if you look at those rosters, top to bottom, who seems to be building the most dynamic one right now?
It's not even close. It's the Jaguars.
I mean, they seem like they're really working on something.
Their defense is good.
I just
good.
Don't know if it's moving to London.
Nah, that's true, too. Their defense is good. Their offense is just explosive as can be. You got the Allens. The Hearns and Robinson. I can't think of a better 1-2 receiver combo in the league since Martavis Bryant is out. Yeah. I would have probably taken the Steelers 1-2, but I don't think there's a better receiver duo in the league than those two guys. And
it's crazy to say, but there's a lot of teams that have a great number one.
Yeah. And then
or like a
or have
solid
two really good number twos
or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's how the Patriots get by. They've got, I mean, Edelman is a number one in volume, but not in, like, the traditional number one sense.
Right.
He's the Wes Welker type number one, although I actually find Edelman to be more athletic than Welker.
Yeah.
And seems like he's a little tougher than Welker, but because of the volume, he also is an injury risk at all times.
Right, right.
But they've got two guys who I think would be number ones. They remind me of young versions of if, like, Julio Jones and Roddy White were both young at the same time. That's the kind of thing that I think that's what they could be building.
I really just look at that roster and I think this team should be good. You know, like, I don't want them to be good because I don't want ever to give any kind of credit to Blake Bortles for anything.
So they should be good. They'll probably be 5-11.
It's a little Atlantic athletic bitterness there from Teddy senior year, but anyways. What's funny is, like, actually I have Tennessee pegged right now at 3-13 just because
it's hard to argue.
I mean, they got to play the NFC North.
Yeah.
Which there's not necessarily a winnable game there.
I don't think there
unless
is.
Chicago's bad.
Yeah.
Cuz I mean honestly it feels like
Chicago might be bad this year.
I mean, it feels like Chicago could be down, but see, I mean, they have a much more dynamic receiving group than Detroit has at this point, which is crazy to think about because it's so hard to take into consideration Detroit without Calvin Johnson.
I know.
But it just feels like they're going to be better than they were last year. It feels like they got a lot of bad breaks last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually have all three of the other teams at 7-9. So at that point, it's really who wins the division games and I actually have Indy winning the division right now just because they don't lose to Houston.
Right. I think, for me, I have the Colts and Jaguars both at 8-8. I think the Jaguars take this division. I think they might wind up eking out 9 wins.
And I would love to see that. Primarily just because, I don't know why, but I don't care for the Colts.
Yeah.
There's something about the Colts that's just not likable for me. Yeah. And I know part of it's probably because I'm a Bengals fan, and we're like an hour from Cincinnati. So that's why I have to watch all the Colts games on CBS.
Yeah.
Because of stupid NFL mapping. But anyways, and then I don't know, like, I mean, I got no love for Houston right now for the reasons I discussed earlier.
Yeah. I mean, they've got one player on offense. They've got a great defense that could be okay this year instead of great, depending on injuries.
Yeah.
The Texans could be, if the Titans were to surprise us a little bit, the Texans could be the last place team in this division.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that. I mean, all you have to tell me is that J.J. Watt's going to miss 3 games.
Yeah.
And they go from 7-9 to 4-12.
Yeah. Real quick.
Plain and simple.
So I've got the Jaguars and Colts at 8-8. I'm going to take Jaguars in some sort of tiebreaker where the Texans, I think 6 wins. Yeah. I think 6-10. And then
you don't think Brock Osweiler is the answer?
No. And then the Titans.
He's like, I'm not even sure Brock Osweiler's the question.
I don't even know that he's quarterback in week four.
It's going to be interesting to see.
And then
they paid him a lot of money, though.
He is the fourth best quarterback in the worst division in football.
Man, that is, without a doubt, the most true statement. yeah. There's nothing wrong with that statement that I just made. That's like when you read an ESPN articles and they pick that one quote to put in the little box off to the side.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah. Yeah, you nailed it right there.
So there's that. Tennessee, I'll give them...
See, they're
just built, for Mariota's growth, too. I'll give them 5 wins.
I could see that. I could easily could. And see, the thing is, like, they're building something. I mean, they got McCoy from the Philly trade. Tennessee.
No, they got Murray.
I said that backwards. They had DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
You love how I said this backwards, confused. Like those two guys are opposites. No, they have DeMarco Murray from the Philly trade.
Yes.
What's bad is you heard that station in my voice because I was like, it's not McCoy.
But... McCoy's in Buffalo.
But I'm already going to go ahead and commit.
Well, and it's then, another running back that
and they
Philly...
drafted Travis Henry.
Yeah.
I mean, that could
be
I think that could be a pretty good 1-2 combo.
I think if they can grind out some running with Murray and and Henry.
And then Mariota doesn't have to run as much.
Yeah, exactly. See, they have the potential, because they are in the worst division in football, it wouldn't take much of a surprise for them to go from worst to first in this division.
Yeah.
It would still be a surprise.
But that's because a losing record could easily win this division.
Exactly.
You
so,
know what I mean? Like, it's not one of those.
It just takes one, like, and I do... I know a lot of people probably thinking with the Colts, like, how are we writing off the Colts completely? Andrew Luck is back. He's the only player on their team. Like,
there is, I will fundamentally say this. I have said this so many times as one Colts fan that I know that I think he hates my guts for it. With Andrew Luck, granted, I think that he is the real deal.
Yeah.
I think that he is legitimately everything they hyped him up to be.
And he played really hurt last year.
They are the most overachieving roster
in the NFL. Sure.
By far.
For sure.
And I think last year wasn't just a case of Andrew Luck is hurt. I think that was this is what the Colts really are.
Yeah.
Especially without Andrew Luck.
I think so too. I really think that
they're not a good roster.
I
love how dynamic T.Y. Hilton can be as a slot receiver.
Yes.
He's not the number one receiver.
No, he's a really good number two.
He's a great number two.
Yeah.
But, like, it's unfortunate for him that at his size, he's got to be the number one on a roster that isn't really worried about doing anything with a running game.
No.
They're not worried about really beefing up their
receiving
core. I mean,
for goodness sakes. They
drafted, like, 16 tight ends the past 2 years, and all of them are hurt.
They kept Trent Richardson for a second year.
Yeah.
Did you know he has the NFL record for lowest yards per carry? In the history of the NFL, he has the NFL record for lowest yards per carry, or at least at one point last year he did, and I can't imagine it got better.
And seeing that's one of the reasons why I'm not as optimistic about Tennessee, because there's something about those Alabama running backs, man.
Yeah.
They look so good in college.
They do. Because they have great offensive lines at Alabama every year.
Let's just face it, like in a down year. Alabama could give any team in the NFL two good quarters.
Yeah.
They wouldn't beat any team in the NFL because that's just nature of professionals.
Will. But still, they could.
But they would give, and you know, it might not even be the first two quarters.
Right.
I mean, they have the kind of composure that, you know, they could be, New England could blow them out in the first quarter.
Right.
And then they could kind of hang with them the third and fourth, even though, you know, there's not a game at that point.
But still, they
could give any team in the NFL two quarters.
I don't disagree. But yeah, the Colts, I think it's Andrew Luck.
And then
T.Y. Hilton is on. T.Y. Hilton is.
That's true.
But like, he's not the difference maker on a team. Like he could be your X factor on a team.
Right.
But he's not, like, you throw him on any team that has a number one and I don't think he supplants them.
I agree.
But I think he would enhance.
Oh, yeah.
Them, you know what I mean?
I mean, you talk about just attracting the attention away.
Right, exactly. But
he would be a great pickup for Detroit, having just picked up Marvin Jones.
Yes.
To try to, like...
that to have, like, two really
two
good
great
number twos.
Number twos that can...
That can be better than a number one.
Yeah.
Because you can't... Because
especially
you don't know who to pay more attention to.
Right.
And so one of them is going to get less attention. And
speed,
like, just
guy,
by,
tall guy. You know, like,
yeah.
That's kind of the NFL model right now, too.
Yeah.
I will say this. This is sort of the bad pun. If we go back into the LeBron James Cleveland Cavaliers years prior to him going to Miami.
Yeah. Oh.
Andrew Luck is LeBron.
I see that. I knew where you were going immediately.
And T.Y. Hilton is like Anderson Varejao.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
he's Mo Williams.
You know what I mean? Like, dynamic is the other guy that can keep the team glued together at times.
Uh-huh.
But
like, I mean.
And I'm sure he scours all podcasts to mention his name. And he's going to use this for material to get him through the best season in the history of the NFL this year.
I'd be all for it. I like the guy.
Yeah.
He's actually, I like
There's
Andrew
only
Luck.
One time
I
like
T.Y.
Him.
Hilton.
The only time I don't like him is when he was at FIU and he was destroying us that one game.
Oh, yeah.
That was bad.
But, yeah, I really like Andrew Luck. I really like T.Y. Hilton. I really don't like the Colts.
I know. There's something about it.
So, yeah.
And, you know, like, even when
you know
Peyton
what it
was
is.
There, like, I wanted him to win one.
Yeah.
And then I wanted him to win another one just to shut up Eli.
Right.
But, like, I really didn't want them to win.
No, I didn't really root for them ever.
You know, like, and I tried to get really excited. Like, I'm going to root for Bob Sanders because he seems like a cool guy. That
right.
one year that he was really good before he was hurt again.
Right.
And it was like, no, see, I really don't like this team.
But the year that he did play, like, all the way through, they
Bears.
Did win.
Yeah.
But, what are you going to do?
It is what it is.
Yeah. I think it's Jim Irsay. I think there's a culture of that whole team all
yes.
together. Just the team itself. Does, like, it rubs me the wrong way. I liked the Colts as a kid. I don't know if you remember the years with Jim Harbaugh and Marshall Faulk.
Oh, yeah.
I liked the Colts those years.
I was a big Marshall Faulk fan. Like, I was... There was actually one of the reasons why I was... It's funny because I kind of got behind the whole Kurt Warner story.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Faulk going there and then playing great. And then, like, it didn't take me about a year to turn around and root for the Titans in the next Super Bowl. But.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
But the Colts, I mean, when did Irsay, I don't remember when Irsay bought the Colts, but I bet that coincides with when I completely started disliking the Colts.
It's kind of like the Jets when Rex Ryan took over. Because the funny thing is, like, I'm sort of a dynasty hater, unless it's my dynasty, you know?
Right.
Which, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that are like that.
I didn't really, so he was... Oh, for some reason, I thought Jim Irsay bought the Colts. His father owned the Colts before. Robert Irsay.
Daddy's team.
There you go. So he's basically...
Second generation.
He's the...
Which,
like,
I can't say it because, like, that's going to be the Bengals organization.
What's his face from the Lakers?
The buses.
Yeah. Who's the... I remember Jeannie Buss's name. I can't remember the other bus who
I
actually
think
runs
it's
the team.
Jim.
Is it Jim? It is Jim Buss.
Jim.
Oh, he's the worst GM in sports.
He's
terrible. Or the worst president or whatever his title is.
I will say this. I do think that I'm still never going to agree with David Stern's let's not let the Lakers be the other good team.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's no reason why that CP3 trade shouldn't have gone through.
Right.
And to basically let him back out and then give less talent to New Orleans to send him to the other LA team.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he just fundamentally did something wrong there.
I think so, too.
But anyways, they haven't been good since then. But
that is nuts. That was it.
That's the thing.
Once that thing happened.
That's the straw that broke the Lakers.
Huh. I hadn't put it together, but right there and that, I was like, boom, right here.
That was the thing.
They've been done since then.
Like, they knew that they needed that other young guy.
Yeah.
And all they've done in the offseason since then is bring in old guys.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, and they'll go out and get a guy, but, like,
right.
He's not one of the big young superstars, and he's not going to be.
They never got an heir apparent to Kobe.
Right.
They never got one.
I mean, probably
the head Shaq's
one of the best
heir apparent with Kobe.
Yeah. Probably one of the best free agents that they've gotten lately has been when they went out and got Nick Young, and Nick Young is not
right
anywhere near, like, an elite player like that.
No, nope.
But I don't know how we got into this big NBA conversation other than talking
Jim
about Irsay. Jim Irsay being a jerk.
That's it. But
you know, the funny thing is, I can't remember the actor's name, but you know, it's the guy in Avatar.
I don't know. I actually have never watched Avatar. I still haven't watched it.
Well, okay, we know the guy that they were going to make Cable.
Robert Perlman? He's not in that, is he? Oh, is it the new guy that they're talking about making into Cable for X-Men?
Yeah.
I don't remember what his name is, but I know who you're talking about.
Like, I just realized, like, they kind of look the same.
Yeah. They kind of do.
That's funny because it was like, you know what I hate is when I look at Jim Irsay, I hate that guy. But then I see something in his face, and I'm like, I kind of like that guy.
Yeah.
But it's not him. It's because it's that other guy.
That must be it.
Like, that is sincerely the dumbest argument that's ever been made on the history of a podcast. But AFC West.
Yeah.
So, I went to Segway school.
That's all right, so hey, who are you taking in the West?
So in the West, I actually have two teams at 11-5.
Let me see if I can guess. Chiefs?
No.
No. Do you have the Raiders?
I have the Raiders at 11-5.
No kidding. I could see it. I could honestly see it. I just don't. I just have a hard time picking the Raiders.
I don't want to believe it.
Yeah. But they have the talent. They really do.
And then the other 11-5 team I have there is the Broncos. Their offense is going to be atrocious.
It will be.
But they won the Super Bowl last year that way.
They did.
I mean, that defense is still great.
You know, although the thing with them, I kind of look at them like, remember the 85 Bears, which we didn't watch because we were just born. Or the, was it the 2000 Ravens?
2002 Ravens.
Whatever, whenever it was, and the Ravens defense was so great.
Early
the next year, they were still really great, but they couldn't get over the hump. Like, an offense was able to get past them.
Right.
The Seahawks. Yeah. A similar thing. I like, just from history, I see these great defenses getting 1 year, and then the next year, offenses have figured them out enough. Like, they'll probably, I could see them being 11-5 and winning their division with the terrible offense and then going out in the second round of the playoffs. But I really don't know what to do with this AFC West. It's you've kind of turned my thinking upside down. Now I'm questioning everything I was thinking.
Well, here's the thing. Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Latavius Murray and Amari Cooper.
It's tough to argue with that.
That's a great trio of young players if they play up the talent.
Right.
Now, they still need to get more consistent play off that offensive line.
Yes.
But Khalil Mack is also a beast on the defense.
He is.
You know, he's a guy that got drafted high. People are like, well, I don't know. Maybe he's not going to be as good. And then a year later, well, he is that good. He just took a year to get there. So it's one of those deals where I look at that division. Here's what I see. I see the Chiefs. I love to say that they have a lot of talent. And I know that Andy Reid makes a lot of difference. Because the reality of it is we can hate on the Philly years all we want.
Uh-huh.
But he made that team consistently good.
He did.
But the thing about it is that I just feel like they overachieved. I'm not like Indianapolis Colts overachieved for the last three seasons minus last year.
Like a couple games extra overachieved.
Yeah, like there was like a little bit of that Eric Berry's back. There's a little bit of that Andy Reid's reviving Jeremy Maclin. But then there was all the injuries at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I don't think those guys are going to be back 100%.
Running backs. They couldn't keep a running back healthy to save their life.
So I don't think that they're going to be as good.
Right.
But here's the thing is, I think San Diego is going to be terrible.
I can't believe it. Like, but I agree. Like, they have
2 years ago, they turned it around. Last year, they were back bad again. Like, see, I think that's who they are.
They get years where you look at them and think they could be the best team in the NFL. They have years like that.
Yeah.
But they seem unpredictable. Like, none of the years where it's happened, did I feel like that was going to happen.
Right.
Right. And then, so I agree. I think the Chargers will be competing for the first pick in the draft.
Yeah. Like, I think that there's going to be a couple of atrocious teams that are probably going to keep San Diego from getting the number one
pick. Yeah, because they do still have Phillip Rivers. Like, Phillip Rivers is a genuinely good quarterback.
But there was that stretch of time when he was spending so much time running for his life. You know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, that stretch where it looked like, man, Phillip Rivers might not ever be the same quarterback again. He's so frazzled. And then they had that one really good year two years ago. And then last year they fell apart again.
Yeah. But I never felt like in any of the games I watched the Chargers, I felt like he was pressing sometimes because there was no other option. Like, he had to press. Like, you know, when you see a quarterback where they're doing too much or whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have to do too much, and I think he was in a position where he had to do more than he should have to do.
I think the only difference between, it's the subtle gap between that quarterback that becomes David Carr.
Right.
Because he spends so much time on his back that he doesn't know how to stay in the pocket.
Yep.
And then a guy like Brady that can take two steps to the side and then thread the needle so perfectly.
Right.
Sometimes I feel like Rivers gets antsy and then tries to thread something, and he's not that accurate of a quarterback.
No.
He's more of a gunslinger style kind of quarterback.
He is.
He's the guy that's going to throw some picks, but he's going to throw some great passes too.
Right. He's definitely nowhere near like the old school Brett Favre type gunslinger, but he's probably the closest thing we have
in the active NFL. Yeah. Maybe Cutler.
Yeah, but Cutler's
so
mostly
whiny.
The bad Favre.
Yeah.
Whereas Phillip Rivers is closer to the good Favre.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Did you see there was an interview that ESPN did with the Bennett brothers, Martellus Bennett and what's his brother's name?
I heard of it, but
from the Seahawks. What's the other Bennett brother's name?
It starts with an M, too.
Yeah. But anyway, the other Bennett, and this wasn't Martellus, although it was kind of headlined as if it was Martellus saying this,
right.
Called Jay Cutler the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
And said he would. Now, I do think Martellus did mention that he would, you know, I would be open and he would throw it into triple coverage, which just is true. There's no one who disagrees with that.
Yeah.
but the other brother, is it Marcus? Is it Marcus Bennett?
Is it like something like Martavis? I don't know.
We're going to find out.
I know that I saw
Michael,
the article.
It's Michael Bennett.
Yeah, we're Samsonite.
So anyway,
now people are really questioning our NFL legitimacy.
Well, you know what was throwing me off is for a second I was thinking that this makes sense in the AFC West conversation because I still remember the Seahawks as an AFC West team.
Yeah,
from the 90s.
Yeah,
it still is weird to me that they're an NFC team.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so you have you've got the Raiders and the Broncos at 11-5. You given it the nod to the.
I give them the Chiefs 10-6, and then San Diego right now. I wrote down 6-10, but I feel like I was way generous.
You know, I think maybe you are. I think they get 3 or 4 wins this year.
I wonder why I did that. Oh, they're playing the NFC South. I think I gave them.
You know what?
Some
that
wins
maybe they will
the Saints
get.
And,
you're right.
I mean, I feel like the Bucks are kind of.
I think they'll win extra games because they do play the NFC South and they do. Let's see, who else do they
they're
have?
They're also playing the AFC South.
That's
why I gave them wins.
Okay.
They're going to get wins against Tennessee.
They'll get 6 wins.
Man. I think I actually was running down their schedule, and I might have been like, loss. Oh, my God. And then now they have a stretch of AFC South.
Yeah.
Oh, now they have NFC South.
Right.
Like, they're going to get to 6.
Yeah, they'll get up to 6.
I think that's the only reason that they're 6, though. I don't think they're that good of a team.
No. I could see. You know, if the Chiefs do overachieve a little bit again, the Chiefs could pull off like 12 wins.
They could.
With that,
I mean,
with that cupcake schedule.
Their schedule is, I mean, just playing those two divisions alone gives every team in this division, except San Diego, a shot.
Right. Let's see.
I do have Denver with the edge just because that defense at Mile High.
You know, when I look at this, they only play, outside of their division, maybe 2 good teams.
Yeah.
They play the Steelers and the Panthers.
And I have them losing both of those games.
I would have them losing both of those as well. Wow. They could, if they did well in their division.
Well, see, and the other thing that they have to take into consideration is that, you know, Denver is going to have to play New England as well.
Right. See, with Denver, I think Denver has a lower ceiling, but a much higher floor.
Yeah.
Than Kansas City. I think because of their defense, the worst they do is 9-7. That's if Mark Sanchez is the Mark Sanchez that I love to see play from his Jets days.
Oh man.
You know, that Mark Sanchez that was so fun, like the butt fumble Mark Sanchez.
Hot dogs on the sideline, Mark Sanchez.
I think that Mark Sanchez gets them 9-7.
I can't argue with that. That's the thing is like they may have the most unsettled quarterback situation in the NFL.
Right.
And it may be the least towards getting them a losing record.
It probably will. Yeah. It will probably do almost nothing. They will probably, like I said, I think the floor for them is 9 wins. I think they get, in a bad year, 10 wins, probably 11 wins. But I don't know that their ceiling is much higher than 11 wins. I think they're really kind of locked in to where they're at.
They're going to win 9, 10, or 11 games.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much it.
I think so. And I think it's more likely 10 or 11.
So, I mean, we set the over-under at 10. I mean, it's...
Yeah. With the Chiefs, if they got a good stretch, like, because they can be,
well, I mean,
cause offensively,
last,
they can
last
be
year,
super
I mean,
dynamic.
Were, what, like, 2-5? And then they went 11-5?
Yeah.
They can put some wins together.
Right. Now, the Raiders have a much... The Raiders have a floor that's pretty low.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, a bad Raiders season this year could probably get them around 5 wins total.
Mm-hmm.
But a good Raiders season this year could probably put them, yeah, like you said, around 11, 12 wins.
And I think the real difference is whether or not they can overcome Denver. I think that Oakland and Kansas City split because they always split.
Yeah.
Because it's just that rivalry.
I think between the Broncos, Raiders, and Kansas City, I think they all split with each other.
I could see that easily. And then it's really about whether or not one of those teams fumbles against San Diego.
Yep. And you would expect that to be the Raiders. That would be the expectation. But this year, it could be different. It could be.
And the other thing that goes into it is this is that one division where we talked about first place games aren't going to matter in the AFC East.
They will matter here.
They can matter in the West.
Yep,
because
I agree.
I feel like those three teams are right there.
Yeah, because the Broncos have to face the Panthers again. They've got to face the Patriots. Oh, man. They got to face the Bengals.
Steelers.
They don't have the Steelers on their schedule this year.
Well, I think that... Oh, no, that's right. They don't play North.
Because the Steelers... Perfect. The Bengals won the North. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah. I don't know why I was thinking of that Steelers. I was thinking different team.
But yeah, they've got Panthers, Bengals, and Patriots. Those could be 3 losses for Denver. In the regular season, I would probably put those as 3 losses for Denver.
And so then it's really just...
But they probably win every other game just about.
That's the thing about it, is just on their defense alone.
Yeah.
And that's what
And then the
funny.
Other couple losses come from those splits, like
exactly.
I said, with Raiders
that's
and
how
Chiefs.
I get to 11-5. It's those 3 losses that seem like, man, those make sense losses.
Yeah.
And then it's the split with Kansas City and the split with Oakland.
Wow.
And that's the 5 losses.
They
that's
are.
11-5.
They will be, that's nuts. They will be such a...
A Super Bowl champion with such an easy schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that that's the model... And that's how it goes around. But the reality is they still have to play each other.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that can make all the difference.
Yep.
If they don't trip up against New England, then all Kansas City or Oakland have to do is sweep.
Yeah.
It's easier said than done to go into Mile High, but it's where winners are made.
Yeah.
But them wins.
So, for me, I've got the Broncos and Chiefs both around 11 wins. The Raiders at 10.
And that's the only difference I have is that I have the... Raiders at 11 and the Chiefs at 10.
And that yeah. And it's tough to imagine them being...
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, and the Chargers are probably... They're probably going to get 6 wins because of the schedule.
Yeah.
Those poor Chargers, they're not going to get any better because they can't... I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to keep picking 9th in the draft? You know?
Maybe they'll hit one.
Yeah.
Sometime in the next decade.
Oh, well.
So that's one thing I can say about the Bengals, man, is that they draft well.
They know what they're doing.
Although we have lost 2 draft picks. One for the season, one potentially for a big chunk of time.
Wait, who's gone for the season?
William Jackson III.
Oh.
Corner we took in the first round.
Yeah.
Torn pec.
Yep, that's done.
And then the first round talent, considered to be a second round pick that we got in the fourth round. Billings, big DT out of Baylor.
Right.
Torn meniscus.
Oh. Yeah, so he's probably at least half the season.
You know, you would think that it's going to be at least a good 5-6 weeks.
Yeah. And a big guy, I always get a little more worried with them on the knees.
The recovery time.
Yeah. Like, you've got the smaller, quicker guys who the worry is the way that they cut. With the bigger guys, it's all that weight on their knees. Like, it's going to be tough. Time. So, but yeah, so that wraps up the AFC for us.
So, I just have a few burning questions for you. You ready?
Yep.
I'm going to go rapid fire. All right. Is Rex Ryan still the coach of the Bills after this season?
Nope.
Nice. He's just one word done. Let's go. Is Ryan Tannehill a franchise quarterback?
Not even close.
Why do they pay him that way?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the big question.
He shows very, very few flashes, like every now and then, and I guess that's why they fell in love with him. But, I mean, he's less of a franchise quarterback than Jay Cutler is.
I don't disagree whatsoever.
So, there you go.
Youth or no youth, everybody already hates him or not.
Right.
All right. Next question. It's really the trendy topic to ask every Patriots fan about Jimmy Garoppolo. But, what do you think about the news that Gronk was carted off the field today?
What? I did not hear about this.
Okay, let me back up. Carted might have been a strong word. I think he was helped off the field with a leg injury today.
I think he'll be fine. It probably wasn't serious then.
It didn't look like it was serious. Okay. But, you know, a lot of times they don't tell you anything for a couple days.
Right.
It's like, no.
That stopped my heart. I'm not going to lie.
Wins.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I meant to say he was taken off the field instead of use the word carted.
Yeah, carted was like, oh no. I was like, I did not see the headline. Yeah, that. Gronk gets hurt every year, though. Like, he misses a couple games every year. Like, I just count on it at this point. This is the one year where I guess I feel differently. Most years, I'm just like, keep him on the sideline until the playoffs.
Yeah. Like, we just need to get in.
Yeah.
And then he can
and
go
then
crazy.
Unleash Gronk on everyone, and it'll be.
Release the Gronkin!
Yeah, exactly.
Yo soy fiesta.
Yeah.
All right. Does Fitzpatrick break his Jets single season touchdown record?
No. Because of the teams they play. They've got a rough go this year.
Touche. Is Joe Flacco still an elite quarterback?
I don't think he ever was.
Oh, snap.
I never thought he was.
We kind of already got there.
I thought he's had some elite games. He's like Eli.
He plays so good in the playoffs and terrible everywhere else.
That's it.
Yep.
That's exactly it. I think what it is because he is one of those few guys that has poise. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. Eli's that same way. They make some decisions that I'm just like, thank God they're not on my team. But then when they get in the playoffs, when everyone else is making mistakes, and even when they make mistakes, it doesn't rattle them at all.
Right.
You know, like they just, if they've been good enough to get to the playoffs for the year, you know, they've played well enough to get them to the playoffs, they maintain that and usually elevate. Whereas a lot of other quarterbacks, like Eli's brother, would play really, really just, I mean, all-time great in the regular season and play in the playoffs. Like, yeah. I never really thought Peyton Manning played bad in the playoffs, but it was always like, oh, he just looks like an average quarterback in the playoffs sometimes.
It almost makes you wonder, is it really that, like, he turns it on so much during the regular season while teams are like, guys, it's a regular season.
Yeah.
That his turned on is still the same while everybody else turns it on in the playoffs.
Right. You know I don't know. I mean? Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, you hate to... I can't, like, tear down anything that Peyton's done.
Yeah, it's tough to...
But there's really not any reason why he shouldn't have at least two more rings.
Right. No, he...
There's really not.
And he had teams to do it.
Was. Yeah. He had much better teams than Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And
he had, I mean...
Could have done it in the first year at Denver.
That first year at Denver, they were one of the... Maybe one of the best teams I've ever seen.
Yeah. They were that good. Both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
So good. What happened in that Super Bowl, man? It was crazy. If the Cincinnati Bengals don't win a playoff game this year,
oh, man.
Who takes the blame?
That's a good question.
I think that really we're talking about two guys.
I'd like to hear what you think.
We're talking about Marvin Lewis We're talking about Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
I think it goes without a doubt that those are the two guys that are going to be on the hottest seat in that division this year.
I think it will be Lewis only because of the long history of it. But man, I mean, Dalton might get it just as hard. Like they might both. If the Bengals don't make the playoffs, Marvin Lewis is gone. I think they'll just turn the page, because I don't think there's anything wrong with how Marvin Lewis coaches. I don't think he's a bad coach. I think he's a really good coach and not a great coach. I think that's what if we just look at this bit of history, if they don't take this next step, I think that will be how his tenure with Cincinnati will be remembered. He was a really good coach, just wasn't a great coach to get them to that next level.
Yeah.
He just wasn't the guy that got them. I could easily see them having the type of thing like the Buccaneers had with Tony Dungy than John Gruden, where for some reason Dungy didn't get them to the to the mountaintop, and then they just bring in the one guy with Dungy's team who gets them there.
Yeah.
Although, now to give Gruden a bit of credit, he then went and faced, like in the Super Bowl, his team from the year before.
That's probably one of the most intriguing Super Bowl storylines of all time, to be blatantly honest.
Yeah, like he took someone else's team to the Super Bowl to play his team.
And when will that ever happen again? Probably never.
Maybe never, yeah.
Probably never.
But I think Hugh Jackson would go if they lost the playoff, if they didn't win a playoff game. I think Andy Dalton would just keep his job for one more year with him on the hot seat. I think that's how it would go.
So I would actually agree with you on that. The funny thing is, as a Bengals fan, Marvin Lewis could be the coach for life, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
No other Bengals fan would ever tell you that. But what has helped that team so much, and you see it with the success that teams have around the league, is that consistency.
Right.
Marvin Lewis is the second longest tenured head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's not even close.
The only reason that it was even close before was because he was third behind the Giants guy before he...
Oh, yeah, Coughlin.
Unofficially didn't get fired, retired.
That whole thing.
Yeah. So there's something to be said about that consistency.
Now, I just realized our teams have that.
Yeah.
That is the difference between them and like everyone else in the league.
Right. And you look at the way that they've drafted and built around like a roster.
Right.
And like they've gotten to the point where it used to be that they couldn't bring in free agents.
Mm-hmm.
And now their only goal is to keep the players that they drafted.
Yeah.
Like it's a pretty sweet gig.
It is.
To be able to draft and build up that well. But just the way that the fans are, Dalton's got a big long-term contract. Marvin Lewis, they keep re-upping him 1 year each year.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to get rid of him because they believe in that consistency.
Too. I think so, too.
But if we miss the playoffs this year, they'll cut him loose.
I think it's
unfortunate for him. Because the thing is, like, it could be one injury could get us out of the playoffs this year.
Yeah, and I don't think it matters why this year. Because last year, I think he got a pass because of the why. I think Andy Dalton being out gave enough of a pass that people kind of, you know, because basically, until Andy Dalton got hurt, everyone was saying if they don't win a playoff game this year, Marvin Lewis is gone.
Yeah.
The whole year, I remember, you know, when they were, how many games did they get to? 11-0 or was it 12-0?
No, last year they got to 9-0.
Oh, was it just 9-0?
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it was more. But in any case, when they were there, everyone was saying, well, doesn't really matter. Let's see what you do in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And
then it's the stroke of luck that Dalton gets hurt. And so now it's like...
Although I think if Dalton was in there, I think they won. I think they'd have
won that
game.
I think they would have. Because the other thing is that the offense, again, we talked about it earlier, but the offense started clicking.
Yeah.
And we had a stall drive because of a fumble that gave the ball back to Pittsburgh on what should have been a 15-yard penalty. We would have scored on that drive.
Man.
If nothing else, a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference in the game.
Neither
here nor there. Is Pittsburgh the favorite to win number 7?
The favorite, yes. And for some reason, that tells me they won't.
I mean, that's usually the way it goes.
Yeah.
Whoever the Vegas odds are up front usually doesn't win it.
I would like to say... See, the problem is my gut actually agrees with my heart on this, and so it makes it to where it feels like it won't happen, like even more so,
yeah.
Is that I think the Patriots do win this year. I think that this is all, of course, barring injury, because injury is going to...
Oh, yeah.
You know, you take Gronk out, like, for real out, or Edelman completely for real out, and you never know. Tom Brady goes down. If Tom Brady goes down, no one even expects him to get anything.
To make but, playoffs, maybe.
Yeah. But if they are healthy, I think this might be... I think Brady might throw 45 touchdowns in his 12 games. This could wind up being... And, like, for some reason, I just have this gut feeling that this will be Tom Brady's best year of his career. Like, this will be, like, his, like, the crazy...
His best, like, prorated...
Yeah, yeah, like the Peyton Manning year in Denver. Like, yeah. That first year. Because there was a... I felt like Peyton Manning had something to prove.
Yeah.
That year. Like, he got, you know, the Colts let him go. And he's like, I'm Peyton Manning! Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like... This whole time, with the without going too much into it, but like when basic science says that doesn't seem like anything actually happened to the footballs, like when the actual scientists from legit universities who have no stake whatsoever say, wait, this is within what we would expect to see with the ideal gas law, with what you guys did with the footballs, taking them in and outside. And then he's going to serve four games for something that they can't even say wasn't natural. Like, they can't even say that with certainty. Now it just got to, like, yeah, but we just want to make sure everyone knows we can do this. That's what the whole court thing was. He's going to be... He's got something to prove, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's... the legacy thing is going to be completely... Like, everyone's going to be talking about it, of course. No, although, man. It does seem a little bit like... The way that they beat the Seahawks after that game, that it did kind of... The legacy portion, people did kind of go like, oh, well, I mean, he's still Tom Brady. Even if yeah. even if he went in there himself with needles and deflated the footballs, I mean, look what he just did.
Yeah.
But, so at least that part of the legacy is probably there. But I get the feeling that he has... That's going to be a thing. Like, it's going to be like the 2009 season where the whole team was, like, rallying around the Spygate thing. And it's like, oh, so then we'll beat you by 40 points today instead of the 20 we would have beat you by.
Yeah.
I think that's what we'll see a lot of this year. And I think they'll keep the pedal to the metal all the way to the Super Bowl. I really do. I don't think I've ever picked the Patriots as the Super Bowl team since I've become a Patriots fan, because that feels like...
It feels jinx-ish.
Yeah. But for jinx. Some reason, this year feels like it's going to happen. And I couldn't tell you... I got no logical reason for it, because I think the Steelers are by far the best team in the NFL. Yeah, and they're in the same conference, so...
Those are the two teams that I have as 1 and 2 seeds right now in the AFC, so...
But your Bengals, man... I think they're going to go one of two ways this year. They're going to either...
They're going to turn it up or they're going to turn it off.
Right.
That's one of those two things.
That's exactly it. I think they're going to turn it up or turn it off.
Makes this a nervous seat to be in.
Yeah, because you don't know what next year's going to be.
Yeah.
Next year's going to be great, or it's going to be rebuilding. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Just thinking about that, for a team that's that good, next year will probably be amazing or rebuilding, one or the other.
Yep.
Something to think about.
That's the NFL.
Because I mean, the Patriots are like a couple of years away from that themselves.
Yeah.
Because once Brady's gone, like, I mean,
you know, the thing that's always blown me away about the Patriots, because it's sort of shocked me, is like, so they're obviously very good with their system,
right?
And being able to bring in a quarterback and let him make some subpar receivers look pretty good.
Uh-huh.
We've seen that. Obviously with Brady.
Yep.
And we obviously know that there's more to Brady, because, again, as we talked about earlier, when those other guys go elsewhere, they don't do it.
Right.
But the thing that always shocked me is that it seemed like they would start trying to build an offensive juggernaut, because they know that Brady's getting to the end of his career.
Yeah.
You feel like, because they know they can make a quarterback succeed in that system,
uh-huh,
it just feels like they would have started building this unbelievable receiving core.
Right, like they'd have gone all in on the receivers.
They would have gone all in on receivers so that Brady's last 3 years could just be sick.
Yeah.
And they would blow through people because they would win games by 50 points.
Right.
And then when Brady retires, there would be a complete arsenal there for whoever takes over.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they always just said, Brady can make whoever look good.
Yeah. As a Patriots fan, that has been the most frustrating thing to watch.
I can imagine. I really can.
Because you watch it and you're like, there will be games at the Patriots. I don't know how they win them sometimes because you watch 15 drops. Like, there have been games where there have literally been somehow, I don't know how they record drops because somehow a drop sometimes isn't a drop on the stat sheet. I where it like hits a guy in the hand and it's not a drop and I'm like, you dropped that ball. How did?
Right.
Anyway, like,
how else do you drop a ball?
I know. Like, you'd see Aaron Dobson drop 6 passes in one drive and just, I'd be losing my mind. But somehow, like, basically then, you know, Julian Edelman would catch that one pass over the middle to get the first down. And then, yeah. And so that's how Aaron Dobson would keep getting the chance to drop balls. And then Brandon LaFell was the same way. Like, just drop machines. But somehow,
way to rub that in since he's in Cincinnati.
Is he in Cincinnati this year?
Yeah.
Oh,
I haven't actually looked to see.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how much they start making cuts yet. But.
Gotcha. So maybe he's still on the roster.
He might still be there.
The thing is, he's a good wide receiver who could be really good, but they never supplied him with weapons. He's only really had weapons. Like, he had Randy Moss the 1 year. He had Deion Branch early in his career. He has Gronk, but Gronk is he is a tight end. There just is a difference between the tight ends and the wide receivers, and especially because Gronk isn't a Jimmy Graham tight end where really he's more of a wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Gronk is a tight end. But this year, the one thing that they did do that makes me think they could look like they have a bunch of weapons is they brought in Martellus Bennett. And yeah. I think that was probably their biggest transaction of the year. I think that will wind up being it's not a splashy move. It's just the tight end. Like, it's a good tight end.
And those are the kind of moves that teams that draft well and, you know, make their rosters
right
through that kind of process, you know, that's the kind of addition that makes all the difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Cincinnati is not, they don't go out and sign, you know, a 5-star.
Right.
I love how I'm using college terms.
Yeah.
It's better at the moment, but
a blue chipper.
They're not going to go get a blue chip superstar. They're going to go get some guy that's going to fill that void in the depth chart at middle linebacker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right. That keeps them solid and keeps everything in place and, like, maybe enhances something.
Yeah.
And if at worst, doesn't make things worse. Like, that's right. Basically, like, that's what really good teams do. You'll see them do that move a lot where, like, this won't make things worse.
It's like
it could make things great. Yeah, exactly. But I'm looking forward to it. I think the AFC is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I agree. It just feels like there's going to be a couple of teams in the NFC that are going to be dynamite to watch to see what they do. Like, is Carolina going to be as good as they were last year? Obviously, I wouldn't say as good.
Right.
But, I mean, they're going to be dynamic. Are they going to be a playoff run team again?
Right. Are they going to be closing in on the best record in the NFL type team?
Is Arizona still up there?
Right.
Does Green Bay come back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the kind of interesting teams we have on there. But then you look at the AFC, and it's like, this feels like where the power's at.
Right. It does feel that way. Even though maybe it's not. But I don't know.
Maybe we'll find out next week.
On Endangerously Sports.
Yeah! EndangerouslyCreative.com